Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. This is the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We ask that your word will be preached correctly. And Father, bless us with the knowledge. Bless us with the understanding of your word. And through your word, let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, who is even now teaching us as we worship you. We pray that you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the King, as we have been looking. And he brings his kingdom. And now he furthers that kingdom. He proclaims the gospel of that kingdom. The gospel of heaven. Now the concise version of that gospel is what we find in chapters 5 through 7. Obviously, the full and complete version of that gospel is found in the whole Bible. We call these chapters 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And chapter 5, verse 3 to 12, which we're looking at today, we call them the Beatitudes. If we were to describe these chapters, the Sermon on the Mount, in a phrase, then we would do so with the phrase, our heavenly reality. They are pictures of our heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. They are the eternal reality of our eternal salvation. They are pictures of the citizens of heaven. But first and the most of all, they are the pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ. They show who our Lord is and how He lived when He was here. These verses show the life of Christ. Jesus Christ is the poor in spirit. He is the one who mourns. He is the gentle and the humble. Jesus Christ is the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He is the merciful. He is the pure in heart. He is the peacemaker. Jesus Christ is the one who are insulted and persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Jesus is the salt of the earth. He is the light of the world. He is the one who fulfills the law. He is the one who does not commit murder and loves his brothers. He is the one who does not commit adultery. Jesus Christ is the one who loves his enemies. He is the one who serves the Father and Him alone. Jesus Christ is the one who lived the gospel of the kingdom. He is the one who lived the gospel of heaven. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ Himself, He is the gospel of heaven. And you and I, we are united to Him in every way. Thus, what we see in these chapters is also pictures of us, pictures of His people, the citizens of His kingdom. These chapters answer such questions as these. Who are we? Well, these chapters will answer that question. What kind of people did our Lord Jesus Christ made us to be? Well, the answer is in these chapters. What is the life of heaven? How does the life of heaven look like? Answers to these questions we will find in these chapters. If you want to know who is a Christian, how does it look? These chapters will show you. God has made us to be like this, what we see in these chapters. And the life that we live in Jesus Christ is exactly what we see in these chapters. We live this life. Thus, we witness our Lord Jesus Christ, and we witness the reality of heaven. We witness the coming of this heaven. We witness that the kingdom of God is true. We show this through our lives as we live the life of heaven that we see in these chapters. The true King, our Lord Jesus Christ, and this kingdom, their power and the glory are hidden in and to this world. Thus the world rejects this King and this kingdom. The same is true for the citizens of the kingdom of God. Our life is also hidden with Christ in God. Our Lord has accomplished His kingdom. Heaven is accomplished. The reality of heaven is accomplished for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. That reality is eternal. It does not change. Even when we do a very poor job in witnessing that reality. So the first thing that I want you to understand is that what we see in these chapters is you, your life. But when I say that, you might feel very uncomfortable because when you read these verses, you say, wait a minute, I'm not like that. I don't live that kind of life. Yes, I know. I don't either. But even when you're doing a poor job witnessing what Christ has accomplished already for you, that does not mean that that is not your reality in Christ. This is who you are in Christ. Even when you do not show it well. Christ has already accomplished this reality for you. We're going to get to that verse, but God says, you are the light of the world. God does not say, do your best to be the light of the world. He does not say it like that. He says, you are the light of the world. Yes, we don't do a good job showing to the whole world that we are truly the light of the world, but that does not change the fact that you are the light of the world. You're not trying to be the light of the world. You are already. That is the first thing you need to understand and believe. Yes, we do a very poor job in witnessing the salvation that Christ has accomplished for us. But it is also our desire to witness that reality of our eternal salvation, the reality of our eternal home, heaven. We want to show to the whole world who we are truly in Jesus Christ. If we are truly Christians, that will be our desire. We want to show what a Christian really looks like. And if we want to do that, we need to know, we need to see how he is, how a Christian really looks like. And these chapters will show us. These chapters will show true you, you forever. Because you're going to be like this. No, you are like this forever and ever. Because Christ has accomplished your salvation already. Your life of heaven has already begun. Living like this, what we see in these chapters, we've witnessed that life has already begun in us. Brothers and sisters, I want you to clearly understand this, that you and I, we are truly blessed. The new era has begun. The new age has begun. The age of eternal glory has begun in Jesus Christ. Heaven has begun. The beatitude begins, blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you see it? The new age in which being poor is the sign of being blessed by God has begun. Because you're not going to hear this kind of language in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, being poor was a picture of God's curse. But no longer. Jesus preaches here and he starts out by saying, blessed are the poor.
As soon as you hear that, you know something new has begun. The new age has begun.
New age of heaven has begun in Jesus Christ. The world does not want this. The world rejects this. But heaven has begun its reign. The power that is in the weakness. The world does not want that. The exaltation in humiliation. Not just after humiliation. We always speak of humiliation first and the exaltation later. But exaltation in humiliation. The world does not want this. Not God's blessing in spite of the sufferings, but God's blessing because of the sufferings. World does not want this. Being poor and humble in this world is no longer the God's judgment. The kingdom of God has come. Now you who are nothing in this world, you who has nothing in this world, are gathered by God into this kingdom that God brings. God is gathering His people, His citizens of His kingdom. He calls His people. He called you. Let us go to 1 Corinthians together. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. The citizens of this kingdom are gathered. And even as we gather here to worship our God, we are witnessing that reality. Do you remember the Old Testament blessings? Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'll read from verse 1. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Already difference, right? If you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, you're going to read from verse 1 through 14, the blessings of God. God will say, I will bless you this way, bless you that way, all that. But even before He says anything about blessing, first thing you see is what? If you diligently obey, then God says, I will bless you this way, this way, this way. That is not what we see in the Sermon on the Mount. It starts out with, blessed are the poor in spirit. We'll get to that later. Verse 2, Deuteronomy 28. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast, and increase your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And on and on and on. Old Testament blessings, all earthly blessings. Now in Jesus Christ, the true blessings of God is given. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The heaven is yours. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ never promises you anything earthly. You read it for yourself. But he says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why then the poor and the persecuted are the blessed ones? Because they have the honor of living the same life that our Lord Jesus Christ has lived. They are invited to participate in his life. They are called to imitate Christ. They are called to be like Christ. Yes, you the citizens of heaven, you do not seek this world. You desire Jesus Christ. You seek his kingdom and his righteousness. You understand that the life you live here on earth is a life of a sojourner, a traveler, a life of alien and a stranger. But a glorious life of heaven, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. This world is not our home. Here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. We are physically away from home and physically away from our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the biggest suffering that we have. Here in this world, we are very uncomfortable. Like a few size small clothing, it is very uncomfortable. Life here in this world as a Christian is hard and difficult. But we live with joy of heaven. We live enjoying the blessings of heaven. But the thing is, the blessings of heaven is not something that you could show. At least, not the way that the world wants to see it. The world cannot and will not understand. We joyfully choose the narrow door and the narrow road. We joyfully turn the other cheek when someone slaps our right cheek. We joyfully receive the insults and persecutions for our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice and be glad when people insult us and persecute us and say all kinds of evil against us. The heaven has come, and the life of that heaven has already begun in Jesus Christ. And our job is to witness that reality of heaven. As we study the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to hear Jesus Christ. He is teaching you. He proclaims the gospel of his kingdom. Chapter 4, verse 25, large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. And we come to chapter 5, verse 1, when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. But if we read chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So here it talks about the crowds. So when we read verse 1, when it says his disciples came to him, thus the people who are gathered before Jesus were not just his disciples, the apostles. There's more people. But people came to Jesus. The sinners are coming to Jesus. Sinners who were slaves to sin and Satan are now coming to Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 3. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Isaiah 10, chapter 10, verse 21. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, the mighty God. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all the lands to which I have driven them in my anger, in my wrath, and in great indignation. And I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety. I could go on and on with these kind of verses. God promises the restoration. Now in the Old Testament, we see the partial fulfillment of that restoration when the Israel comes back from the Babylonian exile. But even that event points to the perfect restoration of God in Jesus Christ. The restoration from sin to eternal life. And that reality is witnessed in our passage. As we see sinners come to Jesus Christ, the heaven has begun. The perfect restoration has begun. Yes, that reality is being witnessed here, but the true restoration is being accomplished in a more deeper level. Matthew 22, verse 14 says, For many are called, but few are chosen. Many come, but only a few follow Jesus to the end. Just because they come physically to Jesus does not mean that they are participating in the perfect restoration of God. Matthew 13. Verse 11. Jesus answered them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. For many are called, but few are chosen. So here, as we see this crowd coming to Jesus, we see the reality of God's perfect restoration. But the true restoration happens in much deeper level. But nevertheless, we see the perfect restoration of God being fulfilled. God calls His people and gives them the ears to hear and makes them understand and believe and obey. The ones who are participating in the true restoration of God do follow Jesus to the end. They follow Jesus to heaven. And you and I are called by God to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself teaches you with His Word. You hear him and understand him and you believe. And now you follow Jesus to the end. You enjoy the gospel of heaven. You enjoy the King of heaven, Jesus Christ. He went up on the mountain and sat down. The King has come, and to him people are coming. Both the Jews and the Gentiles are coming to him. What we see in our passage is our reality. Yes, you and I have come out to him, and he gives us a sermon. This sermon, Sermon on the Mount. Verse 2 says, he opened his mouth and began to teach. That is your reality right now. You and I must listen to Jesus Christ. And we must pray as we listen that God would make us understand and believe. Every time you come to worship God on the Lord's Day, you and I come to Jesus Christ. He sits on his throne and he opens his mouth and he teaches us. The gospel of heaven is being proclaimed by himself. And for you and for me, the gospel of heaven is indeed music to our ears. Starting next Sunday, we're going to get into the Sermon on the Mount from verse 3. But here, I want you to understand something before we end today. In verse 1 and 2, we see beautiful reality of our salvation. We see clearly how blessed we are. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command. If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. That was a picture of coming to God in the Old Testament. Coming to God is the most frightening thing. For sinners to come to God is the most terrifying thing. Filthy sinner coming to righteous God. He is the consuming fire. No sinners will be able to stand before God. They were not able to come close to God. Not even close to the mountain, Mount Sinai, in which God came to them. They have to stand afar. And here in verse 19, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who were begged that no further word be spoken to them. As they gathered to God, as God speaks, people are terrified. They beg for God to stop. That's the reality of sinners coming to God. But what we see in verse 1 and 2, should bring so much joy to you. Because that is your reality, even right now. I want you to see, brothers and sisters in Christ, how blessed you are. I want you to see your blessed reality of heaven. In Hebrews 12, verse 22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." And verse 24 says that you have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. You have come to Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. You have come to God. And I want you to understand how blessed you are. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? You perfectly, right now, participate in the perfect restoration of God. Do you see how God has brought you together to Himself? The perfect restoration has fulfilled in Christ in you. God has gathered you to Him. Are you coming to God like those people who we seen in the Old Testament? Are you begging for God to stop proclaiming? No. Like I said before, His gospel to you is music to your ears. It's the wonderful stories of your Lord Jesus Christ. It is the wonderful story of you. We come to Christ and He speaks to us and we rejoice. What has happened, brothers and sisters? Salvation has been accomplished. Heaven has come for you. He gathered you to Him. The perfect restoration of God. But how did this happen? Jesus Christ was completely forsaken by God on the cross for you and for me. And because of what He has done, we now come to Christ. We enjoy His word. We hear His word without fear. We do not beg that no further word be spoken to us. But understand, brothers and sisters, to sinners without Christ, God's word is the word of judgment. Sinners apart from Christ, they don't enjoy hearing the word of God because the word of God condemns them. But not for you. I want you to understand what has happened to you. How blessed you are. For you and for me, the Word of God is not the judgment of God, but it is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, brothers and sisters, see what our Lord has accomplished for you and for me. You and I came to God who sits on His throne, and we hear His word. Do you hear Him? Do you hear Him?
He says to you, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, rejoice. The heaven is ours. And Jesus Christ is our God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us. We are indeed blessed, for heaven is ours in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us understand what has happened, what Christ has done and accomplished. Oh Father, forgive us, for we are so ignorant. And when it comes to understanding, when it comes to serving you and loving you, we are so slow. Oh Father, bless us. Give us ears to hear your word, the gospel, the good news of heaven, that we may see you and see ourselves in you, see our heavenly reality, so that we may rejoice and rejoice. For the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom, is ours. And Jesus Christ is our King, now and forever. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.